You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. Warning, the views expressed come from men who've spent half their lives in grease-stained overalls, inhaling hazardous fluids. Before taking any advice, consider the source. This program will contain humor of a questionable nature. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay. Yeah, I can't do it. Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and we're coming to you semi-live because it was a tough night last night. Anyways, really? We got a great show lined up for
you. Tough night? You were a bad boy or what?
No, I was reading this book. I didn't get to bed at 1 o'clock.
Wow.
It's the Book of a Contact. Remember that movie with Jodie Foster where they get news from another planet?
Oh, yes.
Well, the book is entirely different. And I read it 1 o'clock before I got to bed, and I still haven't finished it.
Oh, wake up. You're an old man. Come on.
All right.
Coming up.
It's okay, Dave. I'll be fine.
What's coming up?
All right. Joining us today is Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance, or as we always call him, Jeff Lant from Coy.
You do.
Carrie Schmidt's going to talk about stolen cars. Jeff's going to talk about stolen cars. And Terry Lobson's going to be on the phone from the Classic Car Productions. And they're going to talk about classic cars. Plus, we have a winner of the gas cards contest. We have actually four winners. We're going to announce them later in the show. Winners for $100 worth of Esso gas, $50 worth of Esso gas, and two cards for $25 worth of Esso gas. It was a great contest. A lot of entries. A lot of excitement about that.
You know, with the weather out until the last couple of days when it's cooled off, you know, that's what it's great we're having Jeff in this morning because when the weather was getting really warm about 2 weeks ago, yep. I started seeing people pulling out their classic cars.
Yeah.
All the sheet, you know, the tops were coming off the. Yep. The cars, anyways, the Mazdas and whatever they were out there. So, Jeff, it must be a pretty exciting time of the year for you right now.
Oh, yeah, just on the brink of the season starting.
Yeah, so now they pull it out, they call you, and they say, you know, hey, Jeff, we're going to be running the car this weekend. That's okay?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, they purchase cars over the fall or winter and just don't bother putting insurance on them until it gets nice. They just put it in the garage and then think about some nice days and say, okay, now I want to get out there. So
fascinating. Yeah, I know. It's the time of year. I dug my car up, but it's just sitting in the driveway. I have to clean it and get it all ready to go. And I'm just looking forward to it. It's really good. So we're going to take a quick break.
All right. Now, listen, if you got any questions about if you're thinking about getting a classic car or you have one right now but nothing insured, you want to find the ins and outs of that, Jeff's here for the entire hour. And some interesting news about what's going on with stolen cars with Kerry Schmidt from the OPP. That's coming up. Plus, we'll take your calls throughout the hour on any problems you may be having with your jolly car. This is Dave's Corner Garage, Canada's number one consumer radio show. We'll be right back. Stick around. Coincidence would have it. That's our guest for the entire hour, Jeff Coy from Land Insurance. We want to take your calls if you have any questions about getting your car ready for spring, which is just around the corner because we move the clocks forward 1 hour tonight.
Yeah, we lose an hour of sleep.
Yeah, but you know what? You're over a certain age, so does it really bother you that much?
No, because I can whip in a nap about 3 o'clock.
So the nap will have to be moved forward by an hour. I like that.
Carrie's on the phone. Good morning, Mr. Schmidt. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good. We want to talk a little bit about, first off, we know it's spring break and there's a lot of activity around.
There's a ton of activity. Man, there's lots of people traveling around. March break is here, and that's exciting for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I noticed at the airport we got in on Thursday, there was nobody on the plane coming home, but the plane leaving.
are you saying this isn't a destination that people want to come and visit?
I don't know. That's interesting. People don't go to Toronto in the winter. They come here in the summer.
Sure, there's lots to do here. It's fun and exciting. There's always something happening. But yeah, a lot of people want the heat and the sun and the sand. And, lots of people doing road trips as well. And so, that's where our focus really comes into play as well, because lots of people going out either to the ski slope to go skiing or down south on a far road trip, and they pile up the car with the kids and the gear, and sometimes it's hard to see out the vehicles, and you're traveling in unknown areas. So, you know, just watch where you're going and know where you are, and make sure that that part of your journey, your driving, is actually part of your vacation. Enjoy it. Don't be all stressed out on the road.
Now, you know, when a lot of crime happens, it's usually with a stolen car.
Well, so, yeah.
Right? I mean, you should pull the guy over and the car was stolen. How does that happen with modern cars? I mean, they've got interlock devices. They don't start without a key.
It comes down to the most important person in the vehicle. It's the driver. And if that driver gets out of that vehicle and leaves it running, and the keys are in it, or the key fob post, or wherever it is in the vehicle in the glove box, now it's a free car that people can jump into. I saw a video yesterday, a dash cam or a surveillance camera, with a guy trying to steal a pickup truck, and a woman was right beside it, and her little child was in the back seat, and she was able to get around and open the door and wrestle the guy out. But it happens so fast. 2 seconds, and your car could be half down the block, and within a few minutes, it'll be in a container overseas.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like things like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Bugatti, that kind of stuff. That is that higher rated stolen? Like there's more of those vehicles stolen than others?
I don't think there's that many cars out there. There's just as many Cadillacs and Lexuses and other luxury vehicles. I don't know which is the number one car being stolen out there. You probably have those details. But sometimes it's the simple, common vehicles you see on the roads every day that blend in with traffic. And they're easy to be stolen.
I know I remember, Kerry, when we got a Honda Civic,
yeah,
like a 2001, which you can drive into the ground and then beyond.
Yeah.
Everybody said, make sure you put it in the garage because you're going to wake up one morning. And it wasn't because they wanted the car as much, which is a great car. They wanted the parts.
Sure, absolutely. There's more value in parts than there is in cars. And there's these chop shops that'll be cutting cars to pieces, and then there'll be the other cars that'll be in these containers heading off to faraway countries, and you'll never see them again. So,
Kerry, we have Jeff Coy in from Lant Insurance, and they take care of classic cars. Jeff, are you seeing when it gets into this time of the year, are there stolen cars that come up that Kerry may run into?
Yeah, we've just had one stolen about a month ago in the Brantford area, 56 T-Bird, one of our client, a large collector from Newfoundland. Was just bringing it over here to a restoration shop, and then was going to head down to Florida to a Conqueror event. And it's a very, very rare T-Bird, a value of $350,000. And he mistakenly stayed overnight in that area and was stolen from the trailer. And we're still looking for it.
That's a heartbreaker, isn't it?
Yeah, he is heartbroken. All he wants is the car back.
So where would that car go? Like, they stole that car. It's a rare car. So anybody that's in the business would know whose car that was. What's its value?
Well, more than likely, it's being parted out.
It'd be parted out.
And the person that stole it might not even know the value. It's just a very rare car that just looks like a regular 56 T-Bird.
Yeah.
But unless you knew that value. But you're right. It would have to go. It wouldn't stay around in the area because, like you said, everybody would know that car. Even in the U.S., they would know that car.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's certain cars that have history and just sort of pass along, and when they show up.
Yeah.
There was a story in California where a guy brought a Nissan 510 in for service, and the mechanic recognized it at his own car. So Go ahead.
There's so much stuff being stolen out there, and it's not just cars, even pieces of heavy equipment. And these heavy equipment pieces, like, they go into work sites and down into pits, and you'll never see them again. And these cars are getting stolen and being part of private collections. And they may never be driven again, but they're sitting there just like famous pieces of artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
They go and they're never seen.
Yeah, there's a major construction company up on the 400 Beamish, right?
Yeah.
And they spent millions of dollars just safeguarding the area because guys would go in at night, obviously at night, and they would actually go in and steal these major plows, these paving machines, you know, and they would cut the barbed wire through and off they went.
Well, some of those machines are up to $1 million.
Oh, they are, yeah. Yeah.
All righty. Thanks so much, Mr. Schmidt.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you. Have yourself a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. And please drive safe out there. We're starting a distracted driving campaign on the weekend. So, keep that phone out of your hand when you're driving the vehicle.
We were talking about that in the taxi coming in from the airport. That in they're planning with a 3-month suspension of your license if you're caught using your phone.
That's right. That has not. It's gone through the government through the readings and so on and royal assent, but it has not become law just yet. So I'll keep you posted when that actually becomes enforceable. But yeah, that is coming down the road as well.
I was sick, and, you know, take the guy's phone and smash it.
Well, yeah. The thing is, we've had about 700 people die since 2009.
Oh, wow.
With that. And that's just, it's far too many. 87, I think, was died last year alone because of inattention. And maybe not just cell phones, but people not paying attention. So you've got to have your eyes on the road.
Exactly right. Good advice. Steve? Yeah.
Okay, Kerry, thanks an awful lot. Have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks, man. You too.
And watch those temperatures in Winnipeg. It's getting colder out there. It's terrible. Listen, do you got any questions about your car as you're getting it ready for spring? We're here for the entire hour, and especially focusing on if you have a classic car and you're getting the bug like golf to get that baby out on the road. Jeff Coy is in here from Lant Insurance. He'll answer any questions that you have. And later on this hour, we're going to announce the winners for our Esso card giveaway contest. And we had hundreds of entries. Maybe one of them is you. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Dave's Corner Garage. He's back. Maybe he should have stayed where... No, I'm just kidding. Dave, over to you.
All righty. A little woozy, I guess. I don't know what the heck's going on. A couple of things we're going to talk about. One of them is people actually are collecting vehicles, I guess, to invest their money. That's probably what's happening when you have a car collection.
Yes. Yeah. There, a lot of them, they're treated like a piece of art.
Right.
And what it is, it's a tangible asset that you can enjoy.
Okay.
So it's something that you can invest in, enjoy, have fun with, and you might make some money off of it.
In theory, you're going to make money at the other end.
Yeah.
Which leads me to a big question. There's shows like Cobble Beach here in Canada,
yeah.
Right? Pebble Beach in the States, Amelia Island, which
yep.
is on right now.
Right now, yeah.
So I take my car, which is, I feel is worth, it's my $150 million Duesenberg, and I run it down to this auction. Why am I doing that?
Well, you're doing it for a few reasons. Just prestige within the your hobby
in the community,
and also these cars can significantly increase the value of them by being concours judged winners.
So if I get a blue ribbon, let's say,
so
the value of the car is increased.
Yeah, you'll see that when we go to some of these higher end auctions, they'll announce the car as a first place winner at Pebble Beach in 2017.
Yeah.
In the post-war era, and that will generate a higher bid on the vehicle.
So in other words, he's taking the car, getting it, accredited,
yeah.
And then it becomes more valuable, and then he can actually sell it for more profit.
Yeah, but these concours events are the highest ranking judging events that there is, and these cars are meticulous. Every nut and bolt has to be original to that car. A story of a collector down east that had let's say it's a 98-point car out of 100, but he didn't have the original battery in the car.
Right.
He went and found at the same event a guy that had a battery there and said, I need that battery. I want to buy it. And he said, how much? And the guy said, $10,000.
God, that was the figure I had in mind.
The battery.
And
wow.
He paid $10,000 to get those extra 2 points and got a 100-point
car.
Yeah.
Which now translates into 100 grand or whatever.
Well, doing the other car, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with spring, just, not that far away, and you get the summer shows coming up. What are some of the big shows that you guys are going to be involved with that people who maybe are just on the tipping edge of looking at maybe getting into a classic car? What are some of the shows you got coming up for spring and summer?
Well, in spring, we've got there's a number of flea markets out there. Big shows are running in June, starting in June. We've got the auction, the collector car productions auction, and we've got a big event. One of our clients holds a large event called the Fleetwood Cruise in London on the first weekend of June. And something we started last year at our office was we're starting in May, every second Sunday of the month. We do a cruise in a cars and coffee. So come on over to our office in the parking lot in Stouffville, and we'll give you some coffee, free donuts, and you just cruise in for a couple hours, talk to your buddies, and off you go. Enjoy the rest of the day.
I'll bring my smart car.
Sure.
I knew that was coming.
I can't bring the other one because it overheats all the time.
But there's a club that we often will take a drive in the fall or early spring up to Hockley Valley.
Yeah.
And we're coming back 1 year, and we're coming back from Hockley Valley, and there were at least 100 Mazdas just coming the other way. and it was all one big club.
Yeah.
And every license plate had a certain name on it and a certain code. So, you know, there's a lot of clubs that have these events going on. And if you go to your website, you're going to have them starting listing pretty soon. What's the website you got?
It's lantinsurance.ca.
All right.
And actually, if you go to our website and click on Lant, it'll take you right to their events page.
To the events page, and that's being updated now, and all the cruise nights. Everything gets going starting in about mid-April.
Yeah.
And then May, you're in full swing with all the cruise nights.
September,
and
October,
shows.
It's all over again.
Is there like with car sales now, with some of the brands being top, what are you seeing trending lately that are like the top three cars that people are trying to get their hands on for classic cars?
There's the Porsches have really come up, and it's later models, meaning not just, you know, the 60s, 50s and 60s, but it's 70s and early 80s.
I think the air-cooled ones.
Yes, yeah.
That's like 40 years ago now.
And really driven up the value in those cars. If you're going to invest in a car, that's where I'd put my money is in.
You know, we were at the racetrack, and there was a guy running a 70 Carrera, which is $120,000, I think, in today's market. And he's beating the snot out of it, up and down the track. And I walked over to him, I says, you know, the value of this car? And he goes, yeah, but it's a car. You know, to me, it's just a car.
Yeah.
If even if I bang it up, I could sell it. Not a problem. So, Porsches are really strong. But the later water-cooled ones are not as strong.
Why is that?
Because the technology is more complicated, and it's more of a car rather than a bare-bones racer.
So if you're getting into a classic car, Jeff, are there specialty shops like Classic Mechanics?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. There's a lot of the guys, do their own work, but yes, there's specialty mechanics and restoration shops across the province. Again,
well, you know them all because you work with them, right?
To our website, and we let our clients, they get to pick their own shop for repairs after a claim. So we get a lot of tips from them as to where good shops are.
Now, one thing I want to ask you just before we go to break is, when I watch like a Barrett-Jackson auction or a Amelia auction or Meacham, they talk about what's called a Marty report, right? Apparently this is an expert in Mustangs.
Okay.
And there are those people out there that are so expert, they will accredit your car before it even goes to auction?
Yes. Yeah. There's certain, they do that for their Corvettes too. They have different flights that, they're prejudged before they go to the auction. So that, again, increases the value when it gets to the block.
So, they talk about, the Marty report says the car is absolutely original and has all the original writings on it and everything else, and that's what gives it the value.
So it's like a black book report.
Yeah,
for classic cars.
Well, it's like a car proof, but for classic cars.
Yeah,
I like the idea of having a listing of mechanics because for me, I'd like to get into some of these classic cars, but I don't know how to fix a car. So you get a good mechanic.
And a 2018 Honda is not a classic yet.
No, I know that, but if I want, see how difficult it is to wear a smack 'em. All right, more great responses from Dave, but better ones from Jeff. And we want to take your calls throughout the hour, and we're going to announce the winner of the Esso Card giveaway before the hour is out.
Yep.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. The lines are wide open. We welcome your calls. Stick around. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. We're just kicking around some ideas about how I can get into the classic car. I want to get a car, but I don't know anything about fixing it.
Start with Volkswagen. You can't go wrong.
Oh, the old 62 Beetle where you're driving in the wintertime and it's freezing in here. I can't see the windshield.
You got those frost shields from Canadian Tire.
Yeah. All right.
Let's quickly go to the phones. Joan is on the phone. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, good stuff.
What's your question, Joan?
My question. My daughter has a 2-year-old Kia Sorento, and the brakes went completely. They had to get a whole new brake job. Is that usual for that age of car?
Let me ask this question. Where does your daughter drive most of the time?
In Barrie, with snow and ice.
But it's okay. What I'm going to ask is, she's mostly in town or she's mostly out of town?
Yeah.
So in that case, it's probably normal.
Oh, it is, eh?
Yeah, because you're using the brakes all the time. Your foot's never off of it.
Oh.
You start, you're in traffic, you're at those traffic lights. You're driving along the highway, slamming on the brakes and coming back into town.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would say. I don't think the brakes were completely shot. More than likely, they were below the level of safety. All right? In other words, there has to be so much material in the brake pad to absorb the heat that it's generating. So if it's less than half, for instance, as a tech, I would say let's swap them out just so you'd be safe.
Oh, okay.
All right. And unfortunately, it's not under warranty. Brakes are a wear item, and they're in the same column as putting gas in it and checking the oil. So brakes are a wear item. And like I say, it's a heavier truck and a lot of city driving, especially with a load of kids and stuff. Absolutely normal.
You know, and in Barrie, too. I mean, because if you're on Mapleview, anywhere between Young, coming back to the 400, I'm sure she drives that route, right?
Yes.
And, you know, 8 years ago, it was fine. Now it's like there's lights after lights.
Yes.
Yeah. It can take you a good 40 minutes to get across town in Barrie.
Right, right. Yeah, it's really packed.
Yeah, it is. Well, listen, thank you for your call.
Thank you very much. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I have to listen to it every Saturday.
My wife kicks me out of the house, so it's okay. One day I can stay. Oh. Thanks for the call. All righty. We were going to just take one more call, and it'll be Jane from Or. Oh, it's Ed.
Ed, you just. I won't go what I was going
to
say.
Oh, it's because you have to. Ed, good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in pretty good for a young kid.
Okay. What happens is in the computer, it still has the last call.
No, what happens is he's half asleep today.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and not a good half either. What's your question?
A cup of Tim Hortons.
Yeah, for sure.
I was curious. What is the safe time you think to take the snow tires off? Like maybe in the March, or is that?
Well, the reality is there is no time. It's actually temperature. If the temperature is an ambient temperature, stays around 7 degrees Celsius. All right.
Okay.
That's the clicking part for you to start removing your snows. The reason being is because snow tire, the rubber that makes it up, is soft. Mm-hmm. And you'll burn out, if you keep them on, you'll burn them out during the summer.
Okay.
And now the summer tires are harder. So they can take more heat. So sustained heat is the problem.
So probably the end of April is probably the same.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I've seen snow in May, and
Don't say that.
Yeah, we were on a trip.
I know, but don't. It's been a long winter.
No, it hasn't. It's just.
Oh yeah, we're not telling where you were.
Is he a status?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
So I basically go by temperature, and you're probably going to hear us talking about it anyway. So like when it gets around 7 degrees, you're going to hear us talking about it's time to get them off.
Okay, dokie.
All righty.
All right.
Appreciate the call.
Right,
Jeff. When it comes to a situation like tires like that, people who generally are going to bring their cars out in the springtime and then they store them, what kind of tires are they generally using?
On the collector cars, they're using summer tires.
But they're really bias tires, right? They're trying to get as original as possible.
They try, yeah. Now there's manufacturers out there that do remanufacture the bias ply tires, so they're new. They're not just old tires, because that's a concern too. As the tires, 15-year-old tires are breaking down pretty easily. So
rocks.
Yeah.
We call them woodies. Because every time you warm a tire and cool it off, it gets harder. Yeah.
Interesting. I've heard that terminology used for many things.
Especially if you're a carpenter.
Could be, yeah. So if you get a 62 Corvette, what kind of tire would that run on?
Well, it depends on the owner. Some of them will put a more modern tire on it.
Yeah.
Just for
luck. Drive it.
Yeah, just drivability too. So a lot of the collector cars, for drivability, they'll even upgrade the brakes and steering. Power brakes, power steering, and just so it drives nicer, because it's if you're going to be cruising around a lot, it's pretty tough with the standard steering and brakes. And
doesn't brake and doesn't steer and doesn't – the older cars don't drive that well.
Right.
So I was just going to go back quickly to that Thunderbird.
Yeah.
You had it insured for $350,000.
Yes.
Now, I see them going at the auto auctions like the Barrett Jacksons for under 100.
Yeah.
So what happens in a case like that where you are insured for $350 but the vehicle is only worth 100?
Well, this one is worth $350.
Okay.
It's a very rare, one of a very limited number of production vehicles, an E-code type that is just a very, almost a one-off.
So E-code's got the air conditioning and it's got all that.
Yeah.
So now you've stolen the car, stolen the trailer. What do you do now?
We're on the ground just looking for it. We have a specialized claims department that has appraisers out in the area looking for the car at various shops. We of course contacted the police, and through the insurance company, they will sometimes they'll put up a reward, and they have a special investigations unit that jumps right on these and is right after the car.
Now, how many days does he have to wait before he gets a claim check?
It's not a number of days. It's just the investigation. Yeah. All thefts, every car theft is investigated,
yeah.
you know, to the thoroughest. But generally, it could take up to 60 days.
So he gets a check.
Yeah.
And now they find the car. What happens then?
Well, it's our car then. It's the insurance company's car. But in this case, you know, there may be a chance to get it back to the owner with the
So he would take it back and then the whole thing is wiped clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I understand. So the bottom line is, how does he protect himself? Like, you've got a classic car, you got a trailer.
Yeah, you pretty much have to you know, be with it 24/7 when you're traveling. You know, we always tell people if they're trailing down the U.S. or anywhere across Canada, that just, you know, park it in a lighted area. Security, you know, hopefully is it in the place you're staying, and sleep with the drapes open, your eyes on the car.
God, for $300,000 car, I'd sleep in the car.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know,
because if somebody takes your T-Bird away.
It's exactly.
Yeah. Right. What an unsmooth segue that was.
I was always going to say, don't buy something that owns you.
$300,000. Amazing.
It's amazing stuff.
Well, you know what? Maybe there'll be a nice happy ending to that, and the guy gets his car
back. Hopefully. We're posting it to social media. It's going viral across
there we
North
go.
America.
Crank it up. Right, get summertime.
Yeah. Alrighty. We're going to be back in a few minutes. Steve, take us out, please.
All right. And we're also going to announce one of the winners of the Esso card giveaway right after this break. Come on, let's have some fun.
Fun.
There we go. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we're going to get to our first winner of the Esso card giveaway. Because the car's been, you know, the Thunderbird's gone away, and we've had fun. And he's looking at me weird.
Are you finishing?
Yeah, well, I'm going to do this right now. Don't step all over me.
Go ahead.
Al, you listening to this? Okay, the first winner of a $100 gift card from Esso is Gordon Robson. And Gordon, who lives in lovely Mr. Mississauga, will be in touch with you by midweek, and we'll get that card to you. We still have two more winners to announce this hour, so stay with us. Back to you, Dave. You were just talking about, what, fobs or special kind
of
gadget?
One of the questions that we have on the board here is, why do vehicles still get stolen with key fobs? And Jeff was saying that you can actually drive a car without a key fob.
Yeah, we have a 2016 Ford Explorer, and I hopped in the car, drove my daughter to school, and then drove home. And when I got back home, I realized I didn't even have the fob in the car. It was in the house.
But you didn't shut the car off.
No, but if I had shut the car and got out,
then it wouldn't restart.
I would have been stuck. But if I had jumped out of the car at school, left the door open, and somebody wanted to jump in and take it, it'd be gone.
Robert, what's your take on that?
Robert, are you there?
We recently had a modern truck and trailer stolen from this gentleman's driveway.
Wow.
And my question is, and you talked, Dave, to Kerry Schmidt earlier about the interlock system and key fobs and chips and keys,
mm-hmm.
but he bypassed your question. And I'm just wondering, what can we modern vehicle owners do to protect ourselves against this? Like, what additional measures do we have to take?
Well, you know, I leave cars in Florida. And I'm gone for 6 months and so. I put in under the hood a battery shutoff switch. So I disconnect the battery from the car. Makes it just that bit harder to steal. So there's things like that. There's probably another interlock device you could put into the computer. I would get on the web and have a look and see what's available.
Okay.
For every plus, there's a minus. So
yeah.
But I haven't been under the hood for quite a while, and I haven't seen what's going on up there. But the bottom line is, even pulling some fuses on the ignition system, open the box and pull one of the fuses, and that'll dismantle the vehicle.
Okay.
And it won't allow it to run. But you just, there are things you can do.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate the comment on that.
Okay, good stuff.
Thanks a lot.
All righty, not bad for a guy who didn't know the answer.
That's true. It was very. Your bowers were sharpened up pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, so we've ended up doing that. 36 Cadillac needs a mechanic. John in Willowdale, how are you this morning? Hello,
John. 1937 Cadillac.
Oh, see, my operator can't spell.
1937 Cadillac, beautiful.
Yeah. I'm going to be in the parade tomorrow.
Oh, all
the
right.
Irish parade.
Nice.
They love it because it's four screen.
What does that mean?
Forest green,
the color.
Color.
Oh, the color's forest green.
No, my mechanic has passed away, and I'm looking for somebody else to give me a hand.
Well, that's something we can, off the top of the head, I couldn't give you a name and number, but we can definitely resource that back in the office. So if you want to give the office a call, you can ask for myself, Jeff
Coy. Okay.
And do you happen to be insured with us?
Do I? What?
Are you insured with Lant Insurance?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you for your business. We appreciate it.
Yep.
So 36 Cadillac, is that a squared up one or is it more?
It's a 37, sir.
37.
37. Get
it's
you
got,
here.
It's got the bump and the tail, the back is like a bump, you know?
Yeah, yes. Beautiful car.
Yeah.
So it's streamlined.
Yeah.
And with the headlights and pods.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, I realize exactly what it looks
see,
like.
See, now he describes your car. He just can't get the year right. That's okay.
Beautiful car.
All right, listen, don't forget to phone Jeff Coy and everybody at Lant.
We'll fix you up.
What's the number again so he can give you a call?
I'll give you the toll-free 1-800-461-4099.
Great. Well, listen, when you get it all fixed up, bring down your 1937 car, and we'll take a look for it. We'll be able to put Jeff and you, Dave, in the car.
1-800-461, I didn't get the rest.
1-800-461-4099.
Yeah.
Callers will be standing by, but not till Monday.
That's right.
Okay, and I want to go to Stouffville. They have a meeting there every quite often, don't they?
Great.
Yep.
That's right. Jeff's company. That's Lant.
Yep, second Sunday in May.
All right, thanks for your call. Stick around. We've got more winners to announce for the Esso Car giveaway. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage in the year 2018,
yep.
Not 1937, in case you were going back to that
37,
area.
37, 38, 39, I think we're all...
We just got to take a minute to pause here. This isn't Remembrance Day, but we got to say congratulations to Alan Gelman, who's walking his daughter down the aisle later on today. Congratulations, Al, and make sure you take an Uber home, because we know... You like the Heineken, but have a great time. All right.
Terry Lobson's on the phone, and Terry is from the Classic Cars Productions, which we always know as the Classic Car Auction every spring. But now they've changed it. Terry, good morning.
Morning.
Hello,
Terry.
There.
Yep, morning.
So when is the
morning.
New date? What's the new date for our spring auction?
Well, it's June 1st to the 3rd, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. It's a little later than we've done in the past there. I think according to the Farmer's Almanac, though, that was better weather, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's kind of the kickoff for the spring season. So June's a good time to come out. We've had some crazy spring auctions though in April when it's snowing and blowing, and so this is gonna be good weather.
I mean, Jeff comes to your place. I come to your place, and for us, it was a traditional start of this classic car season, right?
Get over it. Yeah,
but you know what? It gives people more time to plan to if they're going to buy or sell a car. So you get a little bit more time. You know, you don't have to drag it out in the wintertime. It's sometimes difficult to actually get really good photos in the wintertime because. To get ready for April. So it gives you a little bit more time. You can get your car out, take good pictures of it, and gives you a little bit more time to think about what you want to buy this year. And there's always something for everybody there.
Jeff, you want to see them?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a little bit later, just traditionally. That was the kickoff of the season. But you're right on, Terry. The nicer weather, probably bring out a better crowd and people will be more anxious to just get the car on the road.
Terry, here's the question I have: is how is the classic car business? I mean, is it still exciting and things?
Well,
are going on?
I think it's always exciting, and I think most markets in anything are there has its ups and downs, but. I think the thing with the car market, though, is there's no real. The companies like Hagerty and Kelley Blue Book and all, they go to the auctions and they come up with market values, what's up, what's down. But I think people got to remember, though, it's not a commodity. It's not like beans and corn, right? It's because every car is one of a kind. It's really hard to say. Well, 1958 Chevy Impalas are, down 8%. It's really hard to put a value, but you can get a general idea of how things are going. And of course, in the last 10 years, you look at some of the astronomical prices for a lot of the hand-built vintage European cars, sports cars, muscle cars have always held their own. And there's little subcategories that are doing well. Pickup trucks have really started to have their day, station wagons, because those are things that, you know, people weren't looking at, and a lot of them didn't survive. You know, they were utility vehicles, right? So even like vintage Land Rovers, Land Cruisers, you know, anything that is basically hand-built, low production numbers, those will always be a good investment. But, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. I don't think that the 80s market is, you know, going to get into the stratospheric levels, but there are people that grew up in the 80s now that are got the dough and they want that, you know, Buick GNX or, you know, or the Dale Earnhardt Monte Carlo or something like that. So anything that's limited numbers, limited special editions and stuff will always have some value.
Will Japanese cars really get the market?
Well, you know, there's Supras, a Toyota Supra. That's a great, example. They're not going to get into the Ferrari levels, but the NSX is a great car. Even you look at the Dodge Viper. I mean, it's ended production last year, but those are fantastic future investments. As far as we sold a '94 for what was it, 70 some thousand?
Beautiful.
And so there's lots of little subcategories. So I would say, though, pay attention, though, to the people that track the market, that go to all the auctions. Like Haggerty does a great job of keeping an eye on things. And so you can kind of get an idea.
Okay, Terry, thanks an awful lot. We'll see you in June with a big show coming up.
Looking forward to it.
We'll talk to you when it's a lot warmer, for sure.
Okay.
Lantinsurance.ca. If you want to get some interesting reading as well, to learn more about these classic cars, go to the website. They got some great blogs on today. You can access this while you're having a cup of coffee and read more about it. So questions about classic cars or your car, which is always a classic, give us a call. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Dave's Corner Garage, we got a bunch of questions about classic cars. Let's go right to the phones. This one is a 1935 Ford. You're on the air. What's your question?
It's a Ford two-door deluxe.
All right. Fire away.
Well, I just want... It's running condition, and it's had new interior. I'm wondering what the valuation of it is.
Yeah, that we'd have to look up. If you can give our office a call on Monday, we can definitely source that for you. Is it all original?
Yes. Yeah. Well, not original. It's had the interior has been a brand new interior in it, and the interior part, the walls, mohair, came from someplace in the States.
Yeah.
Barrett, I can't remember the name, but that was done and has been evaluated. But the trouble is they wanted to put it in a parade this year, but it's going to cost special for the trailer, special license to have the car in a parade.
Oh, wow.
So it just didn't make the parade this year. It did 20 years ago. And this year, it's been running, and they keep it running every year, but they just don't have the time to spend with it.
Why couldn't you license it and just drive it as a regular vehicle?
Well, because it was going in a parade, they said.
Yeah,
I don't.
And that costs more money, and
that's outrageous.
Yeah, I don't. I
and needed a special trailer.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the license plate on that, because you should be able to go in a parade with any license plate.
Yeah.
But
have the antique license plate on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you give Jeff a call? Give her your number.
Yeah, it's 1-800-461-4099.
1-800-461-4099.
Yeah, give him a call on Monday when the offices are open.
We'll sort all of that out for you.
I feel like there's a lot of St. Patrick. Thanks for your call, by the way. We've got another call about classic cars.
Bob.
It's almost like St. Patrick's Day, right?
Bob, how are you?
Coming up.
Good. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, Bob is my brother, but that's another story.
Well, he's got a good name. Anyway, I was going to ask you about the qualification for a classic car, but I'll give you a quick story because I want to get one because of my age. But I went down to Florida in January, and I rented a car from at the airport there, and they gave me a Ford Fusion, put my luggage in it, and they didn't know how to start it. So I went back to the guy, and I said, I don't know how to start this. And he says, well, I don't know either. He said, there's another guy coming in. I said, well, give me something with a key. So he gave me a Kia. But anyway, and then when the guy was standing there, I talked to him, the other guy, and I said, how do you start these cars? I said, I've already got a Kia. And he said, well, that Fusion's gone. He said, I've rented it out again. He said, I should have been here earlier. He said, well, you put your foot on the brake and push the knob.
Yes.
I said, now you tell me, right?
Yes.
But it shows you your age, right? So anyway, my question is, what classifies a car as a classic? I mean, how old does it have to be before you can get the cheaper insurance rate on it?
Well, we're looking at 15 years and older. And then that's the start. And then it's just the, generally a low mileage and a car that you're using as a collector. So you're not using it as a commuter, as your daily driver, your grocery getter, just something you're enjoying, pleasure drives.
Your insurance is cheaper. And how long does your insurance cover you for driving? Like, you couldn't drive it all year round, could you?
Well, that's the point of the classic car insurance is they're not generally used year-round. You're always taking their classic car out in the winter, so it's, the policies run year-round, but the policy is prorated based on, 6 to 8 months use.
So you'd have to have insurance while you stored it as well?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little cheaper, is it?
Yes.
And if you want more information, just by all means, go on their website, landinsurance.ca,
yeah,
and you can get more information. Thanks for the call, and enjoy spring, because it's around the corner.
Now we got to do this, Stephen. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you, David. Stephen, that was... Do I owe you money again from the game last night?
No,
All right, we got the last three winners are the following. You're not going to do a drum roll, are you? Jeff can play drums. You know he can do that. That's very good. Okay, winner number two is Wayne Kozak. We'll be in touch with you next week.
Yeah.
Oh. Sounds like my stomach this morning. Also, Robert Boak. Is that just one drum roll? Robert Boak, you didn't get a drum roll, but you won an Esso card. Oh, and it sounds like an old...
And we have one more.
We have one more, not related to Dave, which is interesting. Ray Stiles has also won a drum roll and a gas card.
This is Amateur Radio brought to you.
Brought to you by drumrolls.com. Yes, lovely. Thanks, everybody. We had thousands of people who entered the contest.
Yes, and we'll contact you by email so that we'll get the ball rolling, and then we'll send that stuff out to you.
Yeah, if we do give you a call, you may hear a drum roll before
as a
voicemail.
Actually, Paula will call you, and we'll get that all set. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was great.
It's fascinating. So now every second week we have a car show?
Starting in May, every second Sunday at our office in Stouffville.
And where do we go?
You go to 37 Sanders.
Don't tell them where to go.
No,
just tell them where the auction is.
After we leave, you're...
Oh,
I have to convince my wife, you know.
Oh, after we'll take her shopping.
All right. It's a deal.
So whereabouts in Stouffville is location for you?
We're
guys
at 37 Sandiford Drive, which is right across from the Tim Hortons, the only Tim Hortons on the main street in Stouffville.
That's right next to the railway tracks, I think.
Before the railroad tracks. Just before the
railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Right,
you can get a panini down the road. What's the name of that restaurant we often go to?
Oh, you got me now.
Uh-oh. So you were the rapper game too late.
Drew a blank,
All right, listen, landinsurance.ca is the website. Go there and find out all the events. And if you go to dayscornergarage.com, you'll see a YouTube video recorded with Dave and with Jeff at the auto show from Family Day. Just
I worked my butt off at the auto show. Man, I did so much. By the way, I'll put these names of the winners on our website so you can go there and check if it's you, in case you didn't hear properly. And next week, who we have on next week?
Next week we have a 1937 car that'll be driven in here. So you can get the name. You're right. No, next week we're going to have Ryan Rogers in from CarCost Canada, a unique way of finding out information before you go into a dealership and buy a car.
And remember, Motion is down by what?
Motorama's on this weekend. Come on down, say hi.
Okay, goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend. Remember, this is a two-hour show that we do in 1 hour.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails to you.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.